All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a Kiss-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy. All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill. Today, we're a group of four. Four friends getting together on a Saturday morning, evening, to talk about the band that we all love and that drives us nuts at times. So we've got Daniel, Wheeze on the board.
Hi, you.
69 Blizzard, Ken.
Hello.
And St. Louis Kiss. And I want to take the opportunity to thank Ronnie Parker, CMAC, Austin Newland, Sylvie, Opal Archive, Keep It Greasy, and Murphy for joining us live while we take on a topic. Whose idea was this topic, Daniel?
Well, I think I was involved. I think me and Ken juggled a few ideas, and this is what came out of it.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that. This week, Andrew and I unleashed the first episode of Inner Sanctum, which will be a podcast focusing on the historic recordings of the band that we love and trying to just put a historical context around them rather than just saying, "Ooh, I like that song. I don't like that song. Ooh, he broke a string." You know, so trying to go into a little bit more depth about some of these recordings and the versions that have circulated historically. I want to thank everyone who took the opportunity to check out that first episode. We're very, very appreciative of the response to it. You won't be seeing video clips in any of these episodes for obvious reasons, being one question that's been raised to me privately in the background. So we'll see how that concept develops as we go along. Other news this week, Ace is back on the road in Ohio last night, and there were two songs from 10,000 Volts in his set, and obviously the title track and Cherry Medicine. So for people who like to see bands or artists promoting their current releases, hey, that's pretty good math, I would say, in this day and age. Have any of you caught his performances of Cherry Medicine yet and checked out the videos that do circulate on YouTube, either from the previous or last night?
I saw it. I know, start line. I beat you to it. But anyway, yeah, I saw the one from, what was it, the big one with Aldo Nova and
Slaughter.
Slaughter.
Yeah, the arena show last week.
Yeah. I saw that, that was pretty good performance through and through. And then I did catch a snip of Cherry Medicine from that recent one. I guess it was a couple of nights ago. It was okay. It's kind of, you kind of want them just to get to the chorus on that one. It seems the verse is just, it's like, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. It's just, something's not working there. But the chorus works itself, and that's fine. I don't know how well that one really works live, at least the verses part of that song.
Yeah, so as Joe Perry used to say, don't bore us, get to the chorus. So, Lonnie, you had something to say on that?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a video of him doing Cherry Medicine. I thought it was fine. You know, I love the big chorus. It just feels like arena rock type of chorus. And I kind of with Ken, that the verse is kind of like, okay, well, let's just get there to the big, you know, the big punchy part of the song. But I think it's cool that he's doing two songs off his new album, that he's still out there promoting it and doing new material off of it, that he's not just out there doing the same thing or, oh, by the way, I got a new album out and do one song on it and okay, back to the hits type thing. So it's cool that he's doing a couple of songs on it.
Yeah, Daniel, not to leave you out, there was a great topic on the board this week about Kiss visiting Sweden in 1976 and some of the crew beating up people photographing the band, and of course the press conference that was nefariously photographed. Did you manage to catch any of that side of the board this week?
No, I didn't read that, but I've heard that story.
Oh,
before.
You didn't see my terrible translation from Aftonbladet, or Bladet, or however you say it.
Aftonbladet, but that's pretty good. Yeah. I think I don't know if you guys have heard Julian talk through AI in Swedish. It's mind-boggling because it sounds perfect, the things. Yeah, well, it's very close to perfect, the stuff you've done, translate. Yeah, and it's so eerie to hear Julian. It's his voice, it's his, you know, intonation, but it's in Swedish. It's so eerie, you know, the technology these days. Well, getting back to Ace, I think Cherry Medicine and the title track were the best singles he released. He also released Walking on the Moon?
On the Moon?
Yeah. Mm. I don't think that would have gone over so well live. It's not really a up-tempo song. The song I do miss from the album that I would like to hear is Fighting for Life, because I think that was a really cool rocker that could have gone over well live. So. But I guess maybe it's hard to sing and play that song at the same time. It sure as hell seems to be a bit hard to sing and play at the same time for Ace at times these days.
Yeah, and an up-tempo song I think would be a nightmare for
him. I think it can't do it live, I think, unfortunately, because it's such a great song.
Yeah. So, still cool. I mean, people bitch and moan about the set list at this point. I think people are going to be bitching and moaning about Jeans. They're going to be bitching and moaning about Aces.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we have something to bitch and moan about and to watch on YouTube. I'll take what I can get at this point. So, let's get into today's topic. Ken, why don't you introduce the first matchup set we're going to be talking about when we dig into Kiss versus the 70s part two, because this is tough. This is actually a very difficult thing to start trying to rationalize.
Okay. So I guess we're going to start with there's two albums we didn't cover, at least two of the Kiss studio albums from the 70s on the first round that we did for the 70s. So what was left over still to do was Hotter Than Hell and Destroyer. So we'll start, might as well start chronologically, and we'll start with Hotter Than Hell and the albums that each of us picked an album to go up against Hotter Than Hell. And it had to be pretty much from that same year, or, you know, within a couple of months of release dates. So let's go over that one.
And before we go, can we just see if we're all on board with asking the audience which one they prefer for this vote?
Yes, we are. I'm not going to.
Yeah, of course. We want them to participate. Yep.
Okay, good. Now that we've established that audience participation is indeed in how
Mark,
this
Mark isn't
work.
Here.
I just want to read some of the albums that were released in 1974 as a refresher. Yeah. I'm just going to burn through this list, picking out some of my favorites because I'm doing the reading. So Deep Purple, Burn, obviously, is number one. Humble Pie, Thunderbox, Mountain, Twin Peaks. I mean, Queen 2, Rush is debut. Mark's not here, so I will mention King Crimson, Starless, and Bible Black. To be polite, and also Grand Funk, Shining On, Motley Hoople's rebranded Hoople, Blue Oyster Cult, Secret Treaties, Second Helping from Skinner, Sweet Fanny Adams by the Mighty Sweet, Ramp by Nazareth, Elf's Carolina Country Ball, or County Ball, pardon me, Budgie In for the Kill. Yeah, that's a must check that one out. Bad Company's debut, UFO's Phenomenon, Buffalo, never heard of, Uriah Heep, Wonderworld, James Gang, Miami, Mountain Avalanche, Steppenwolf, Slow Flux, Hall of the Mountain Grill. I'm going to butcher every single one of these. Judas Priest debut, Rock-A-Rolla, King Crimson Red. Oh, another one for Mark. Paper Money from Montrose, War Child, Jethro Tull, Hotter Than Hell, Scorpions, Fly to the Rainbow. And November that year, Queen, Sheer Heart Attack. Holy shit. And of course, another mighty Deep Purple album, Stormbringer. Thin Lizzy, Nightlife, Sweet Desolation Boulevard, Yes, Relayer, Wishbone Ash, I Can See This Cover, There's the Rub, and Grand Funk Railroad, All the Girls in the World, Beware. And there's probably a few others for 74, you know.
Yeah, and I never heard that album, Slow Fox. That was a new one. Yeah, but not the way you mentioned it. Go back and listen to it.
Hey, I'm trying to go through those quickly. So, 1974 matchups for Hotter Than Hell. Lonnie, what did you pick? Let's see how this one's going to start out.
Mm-hmm.
I picked Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare, which I thought would be, you know, Mark's not here, which is unfortunate because it's
Bob Ezrin
produced the album. So, but I love Welcome to My Nightmare. I think that it's two bands kind of doing very different things with the sludginess of Hotter Than Hell versus the production and just grandness of Welcome to My Nightmare. Two bands that are similar yet going in very different directions here. So I thought it'd be interesting to compare those.
Was that the last album Ezrin did prior to Destroy, or did he do albums in between?
Before
Destroyer? Yeah, it might have been.
Is it the last time he produced?
Right, before Destroyer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what he did. Let's see. What else did he release in 75 other than... I have a feeling...
Why are you saying 75? Because this is Hotter Than Hell.
Oh, I know.
Before.
Well,
he didn't produce anything in between, though.
Yeah. Welcome to My Nightmare came out actually
February 75.
Early
75, close enough.
Yeah. But it's close to release date of Hotter Than Hell. Okay.
It's still 74, so.
All right, yeah. So let's throw that one. Hotter Than Hell versus Alice Cooper. Which one's going to win?
Well, I got to go. Well, I'll go. I got to go with.
You got to go.
No. I got to go. But yeah, I'll have to go with Kiss on that one. I love Welcome to My Nightmare. I think the only thing that bothers me about it is it's not the Alice Cooper band, you know, which I think had a certain kind of rawness or grit to it, the way they, you know, performed. This is kind of a musicians with a lot of more, you know, studio type experience. You know, Bob Ezrin chose them pretty much, you know, to play on the albums. Kind of a thing, you know, that he does anyway, but this is like for the whole album. You know, Dick Wagner and the list goes on, people that perform. But I like it. I like the concept of it. It's cool. I've always enjoyed it, you know, with songs like, of course, Welcome to My Nightmare, you know, Black Widow, Only Women Bleed is a great song. Was a hit single on it. Cold Ethel, love that song. There's a lot of, you know, good stuff on it. But I think it's just, for me, it's almost too good as far as the production, which is kind of funny. And that and the band, like I said, the band members missing that rawness, that looseness that they had on the prior albums of the Alice Cooper band. And they were all gone except for Alice. So I got to go with Hotter Than Hell.
Okay, I agree. Hotter Than Hell. I agree with CMAC. It's not a good album overall. I'm sorry. The post original Alice Cooper lineup doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for me, other than the hits. And Welcome to My Nightmare is a good example of that for me. It just, and everything, got to lay some whiskey. Alice Cooper goes to hell. That comes afterwards. It's just, it's over. It's done. Daniel,
I don't know you guys out there. We had to listen through a lot of albums this time around, and Mark had some strange picks that I had to go through. So it was very welcomed that Lonnie picked Welcome to My Nightmare, because it's such a cool record. I listened to it yesterday, and I like the vibe, I like the concept. the cinematic feel of the album, which I guess is what Kiss wanted when they did Destroyer. So cool. But at times it feels like, you know, that cinematic feel is more important than doing a good song. Like there's a song called Steven. Well, it fits the album, but if you just listen to that song, it makes no sense. So this is really an album that you have to listen from the first track to the final track and, you know, zone in really on the album. Then it's a cool experience, but you can't pick songs and just listen to, you know, add one to your playlist, add Steven to your playlist. It really doesn't work. So that's my problem with the album. And there's really... My favorite song, I guess, is Black Widow. I think that's a standout song. But other than that, it's more the feel, the, you know, the vibe of the album that's cool. But compared to Harder Than Hell, that has Parasite and Harder Than Hell, the song, and so on. I think the songs on Harder Than Hell is better, but the feel on the Alice Cooper album is so cool. You can really, you know, zone into this album. But I have to go with Harder Than Hell. But it's pretty close.
It's funny you say cinematic because you know, they bring in Vincent Price, right? Who was a movie actor back then. And he did a lot of, around that time or a little before, some creepy type, you know, movies and stuff. Okay. And he does that, you know, intro to the Black Widow. And he's always, you know, he's been on Iron Maiden too, right? For Number of the Beast. Everyone was
doing that sort of thing because of Alice Cooper. Def Leppard did the reading. Rush did the reading and creepy voice thing, you know. But, you know, Alice Cooper, you know, brought in someone typecast for the role. All right, Lonnie, this was your pick. Which one's it going to be? It's Welcome to My Nightmare going to be Hotter Than Hell.
Here we go.
Really?
I was going to pick Welcome to My Nightmare, and then I heard your guys' gripes with it, and like, you know, that kind of makes a lot of sense what you guys are saying, actually. So I think Dana made a good point about like Steven or the Black Widow or and some of these songs on there. You know, it's really tough to make like a just like a playlist and like just random songs like, oh, and here's Steven. I'm like, you'd be like, what is it? It makes zero sense whatsoever by itself. But when I got in the car last night to drive home from work, I listened to the album from start to finish. And it's so great, in my opinion, from start to finish as a listening experience from beginning to end. And I think Alice really accomplished exactly what he wanted, and Bob accomplished exactly what he wanted with this. And I think like what Julie was saying, the ideas on this album took off from a lot of bands stole ideas from this album. Like, oh, we want to do what's going on here with Alice. I mean, it is kind of revolutionary in what it did and what bands copied off of it. But I think that being said, at the same time, from a song, but just looking at it song for songs, I think Hotter Than Hell has better songs at the end of the day, even though I might say that Welcome to My Nightmare is a better listening experience from start to finish, if that makes any sense.
Nice. So Kiss.
So I will get reluctantly, I will say Kiss, although I was going to pick Welcome to My Nightmare when we started the show.
All right. All right, Daniel. Daniel goes to take a sip, so I immediately pick him. Daniel, what was your pick for a 1974 matchup?
I think I picked the Rolling Stones album. It's Only Rock and Roll. I like a lot on this album. It's sort of a melancholic album, so to speak. There's a few songs that remind me of that great Rolling Stones song, Waiting for a Friend. I don't know which album that is from, but that's one of my favorites. And you have Till the Next Goodbye, which is very similar to Waiting for a Friend, and Time Waits for No One. So the melancholic kind of slow songs with piano sound great on this album. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of rockers that stand out. So I miss that on this record, but, you know, quite a few cool songs. So that's why I picked this one. And Rolling Stones need to be on a Kiss podcast at some point.
Damn right. I mean, a caveat here. I listen to more Rolling Stones these days than I do Kiss. Rolling Stones is continuously, the whole catalog is on my iPhone in random, just shuffle mode. I listen to the Stones continuously. And this album is, again, it's melancholic, as you say. It doesn't have as much up-tempo stuff as maybe some of the earlier albums or its immediate predecessors, but it's almost a more distilled version of, say, Exile. When you take that amount of material, you condense it down to just 10 songs and the very best. But the middle five songs on It's Only Rock and Roll from the title track on are just a really powerful sequence of well-written and executed British blues rock for the period, and really illustrative of all the positives that I enjoy about the Rolling Stones in terms of musicianship, in terms of song structures, in terms of production as well. So that's a really tough one, and I'll save my vote until we've gone around. Lonnie, It's Only Rock and Roll. Do you like it?
I do like it. It's not my favorite Stones album, but I do like it. And it like Daniel said, it's a little bit different than some of the other stuff. It's not real rocking the whole way through. And it's good. You know, it has one of the more popular Stone songs of all time, obviously, with the title track, and one of the more popular Stone songs of all time, but I think it's a world renowned song with It's Only Rock and Roll. It's close like to a rock and roll night type level. You're not going to meet many people on this planet that don't know that song. It's so popular. But at the same time, I think I will still stick with Hotter Than Hell over it, as much as I do like it, but I still think song for song, I think Hotter Than Hell is superior.
Okay. Ken. You're on mute.
Come on, Ken.
Classic.
Come
on.
I had to do that.
Once every episode. Yep.
Once an episode. Almost every episode I do that. It's a pretty good album. I mean, the production's great on it. I like the rocker songs better, at least on this album. You know, If You Can't Rock Me. And it starts out really good. Those first three songs are a great kickoff to the album. You know, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, which is a remake, right, cover. And It's Only Rock and Roll, of course, everyone knows that, like Lonnie said. And then it just kind of drops off into a different kind of mellowness that it's okay. It didn't grab me, though, those songs. They just didn't really grab me, but they're well done. That's fine. But then
are you saying it didn't start you up?
Wow. Yeah, I see.
Sorry,
it didn't start me up until later on. I really enjoyed, you know, Dance Little Sister, and what I really enjoyed was the very last song on the album, which was very cool. Fingerprint File. Yeah. I thought was really, it's a long song, over 6 minutes, and I thought that was really cool. I never heard
the riff. The riff is really cool in that one. Yeah.
It's really cool. And that's what I like about the best about the Stones. Good point, Daniel, is that when they have the good, cool riffs in it, and some of those mellower songs, it's missing. You don't get that. That's what I like for the Stones is, you know, the riffs kind of stuff. Honky Tonk Woman, you know, Brown Sugar, Bitch, excuse my language. And other, it has some good stuff on there. Again, you know, it drops off here and there for me. I'm gonna have to go with Hotter Than Hell again.
Even though I picked Rolling Stones, I have to go with Hotter Than Hell. Me too. So.
I did the same things.
Yeah. Let's, there you go.
See if that happens with
it's a preference. Anyway,
because
it's a kiss podcast.
I'm on a kiss podcast that I need to provide.
Todd can't believe that no one mentioned Get Your Wings. That is my pick for this album matchup. Get Your Wings versus Hotter Than Hell. And I'm sorry, guys. Aerosmith guy here. I take Wings over Hotter Than Hell any fucking day of the week. Hotter Than Hell has some great songs on it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But Get Your Wings is probably my favorite Aerosmith album.
Ooh.
Period. It's got my all-time favorite Aerosmith song on it, which is SOS Too Bad. It's got great other songs, you know, the singles, same old song and dance. I mean, seriously, Train and their cut of Train Kept a Rolling.
Train Kept a Rolling.
Woman of the World, Lord of the Thighs. I mean, Seasons of Wither, Pandora's Box. I mean, come on. Versus All the Way.
Parasite.
I like all.
I mean, come on. Hotter Than Hell is great. Hotter Than Hell is a great album. There's no doubt about it. And it's central to, you know, the Kiss catalog. And you guys heard that remix I did of Parasite, I think it was, a few weeks back, you know, that kind of cleans it up in terms of production and also giving guitar tones that are a little bit more appropriate to it. So, I mean, I love Hotter Than Hell, but Get Your Wings is something special. Mark showed us, the 50th anniversary edition of Get Your Wings, the gold album.
Yeah, the gold.
I'm not wasting money on colored vinyl. But it's the album that really established them after their flop of a debut.
Ken is.
I got it.
So let's go to Scandinavia for Get Your Wings versus Hotter Than Hell, because Aerosmith doesn't resonate well up there, does it?
No. Pretty good, but nowhere near.
Not until
Kiss.
Permanent Vacation and all the secondary.
Exactly. Later on, I always liked the vocals, of course, from Steven Tyler. Great vocals throughout the album. Really cool to listen to. The thing I have a problem with when it comes to Aerosmith is actually Joe Perry. I never cared for his guitar solos. I think there are so. You know, when we talk about Ace, you can remember the solos. It's like a song in the song. Joe Perry is like the opposite of that. It's like... Okay, are you finished? So we can continue with the song soon. And that destroys a lot of the songs on this album to me. There are a few good solos. Like I like the one on Train Kept Rolling, but like the solo on Spaced Enough for... some of the other songs are so bad to me. I can't get into the solos, unfortunately. That's a big problem. It's always been for me when it comes to Aerosmith. I don't like him as a solo guitarist. My favorite song is probably Woman of the World, I think it's called. That's a cool song. SOS is also cool. I think Eric Singer did that one.
Yes, he did.
On one of his albums. Yeah. And then you have the beginnings of the wimpy Aerosmith with Season of Wither. Boring as hell, as much of Aerosmith was in the middle 90s and late 90s. Yeah, so this is the start of the total catastrophe that was Aerosmith in the late 90s, which always tainted the band and made them a ballad band for the last few decades. So I think it's a cool album at times. SOS, as I mentioned, and Woman of the World, and a few others. Of course, Train Kept Rolling is pretty cool as well, but nowhere near Hotter Than Hell. Nowhere near, so I'll go with a Kiss album.
You mentioned one Kiss connection with Eric Singer covering SOS Too Bad. Black and Blue covered Same Old Song and Dance after opening for Aerosmith during the 84 reunion tour. They put that on their 85 album, Without Love, as a bonus track for Japan.
Yeah, no one covered Seasons of Wither.
Yeah, I think you missed the point.
You missed the point, boy.
No, Joe Perry versus Ace Frehley. Ace.
No comparison.
Has memorable solos. I would say that Joe has memorable riffs in the song. Most on the Dance, SOS. You know, both of the guitars. Again.
That's true. Good riffing on the album. I have to agree with that.
All right, let's go to the Americans for the Aerosmith point of view. Lonnie. Americans.
Well, Get Your Wings is great. I love the same old song and dance. SOS, Too Bad, Train Kept the Roll. I mean, it's a lot of the music that I grew up with listening to, just rock radio growing up in the 80s with listening to KC 95 in St. Louis. They play a lot of Aerosmith, a lot of classic Aerosmith. So was very familiar with a lot of these songs before I ever bought the album when I was, you know, getting my Aerosmith back catalog together. It's tough, but I am going to go with Kiss over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do like the album a whole lot, but I've seen I think what ruins it for me is that I've seen Aerosmith a couple times live, and I never walked away thinking, wow, that was great. I kind of walked away just a little bit disappointed in them that, like, oh, I thought it could have been better. Because I like Aerosmith.
Is Steven Tyler Blue Flame? You'd like it more?
I don't know. I saw him with Kiss in 03, and I saw him in 01 when they came through with the Just Push Play tour. I know. But I know. I didn't see him on Get a Grip. My brother saw him on Get a Grip, and he said the same thing, that he kind of walked away just, I don't know. It was good, but it wasn't as great as some of the other shows I've seen. And I think as much as I like the songs on here, sometimes I can't get that out of my brain sometimes. So I've always walked away from a Kiss show. Not always. There's been times I've walked away from a Kiss show thinking, oh, they weren't as good tonight. But I'm a Kiss fan. This is a Kiss podcast. I'm going to go Kiss over Aerosmith.
You should have gone to St. Louis in 97 or 98. I can't remember which year of Nine Lives tour. Absolutely fucking outrageously outstanding show.
Stone Temple Pilots opened that show too, didn't they?
That's a great band as well.
Yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots opened that show. I did not. I don't know.
Not sure off the top of my head, but an amazing show from the bootleg of it.
And just play Dream On.
Just play the Dream On. All right. Well, for me, I got the sound just like Mark did, the new gold album release of that. It's a solid album. Yeah, we know the songs, like Same Old Song of Dance and Train Up to Rome, Lord of the Thighs and all that. Season of Withers are right, actually. I even though it's a mellower song, and I think it's okay. And the other songs are solid rockers, and like Jerry said, they have good riffs in them. Which, you know, it's no real bad song. I would have preferred the ABBA SOS over though this SOS. I know they're different songs, but that's
Sweden.
Sweden, yeah. But I gotta go. If I'm gonna play these albums, I'm gonna go to Hotter Than Hell more than this album. So I gotta go with Hotter Than Hell on this album too.
All right, Kool-Aid drinkers.
I know we're Kool-Aid drinkers. Kiss Kool-Aid drinkers.
Your pick for a 74 album to go up against Hotter Than Hell. And it'll be interesting to see if you choose your own pick or whether you're just throwing it to the wolves.
Yes, my pick is Blue Oyster Cult Secret Treaties, which there are a lot of people or Blue Oyster Cult fans believe that's their, you know, best album. I don't think it's their best album. I'm not one of those, but I think it's a good solid album for them. It was ranked, it's always ranked pretty high out there in their whatever top, however 10, 20 albums or whatever. So yeah, I picked that one. Do you want me to say anything about it?
Yes.
All right. I started getting into them more, you know, I had the stuff in the Fire, you know, the old songs, Ages of Fortune and the Fire of Unknown Origin back in the day. But this album, I didn't really listen to it solidly until like last October. And I was like, and I started listening to all their back catalog and stuff. And this one is kind of, you know, it's the production is kind of still muddy, kind of like Hotter Than Hell. It's actually not a great production. It has some cool riffs, a lot of cool riffs in these songs, you know, with Career of Evil and Subhuman's really cool. The last three songs on the album are just great. Harvester of Eyes, Flaming Telepaths, which I think like Alice in Chains, I think ripped off Blue Oyster Cult on that song, some for one of theirs. Then there's Astronomy. I think it's a really solid, cool album. And a lot of the songs, they go, there's no break in between the songs. If I don't know if you guys are able to listen to it that way, because, you know, on YouTube, they break it, but the songs actually go right into each other, almost like a concept in a way, though I don't think it's really a concept album, but, I enjoy the heck out of it. Would I pick it over Hotter Than Hell? This is really tough because I really like this album.
Still has New Car Smell for you, though.
I know it has that New Car Smell. I gotta go with Kiss. I'll have to go with Kiss. Just because
away from a bold decision, Ken.
You almost did it.
Yeah,
I almost did it. Though I'll probably listen to this one more now, because, like you said, it's New Car Smell kind of thing for me. I think it's different than, you know, the styling's different, but it has a lot of cool stuff on it. But anyway.
Yeah, Super Zapper nails kind of my opinion. Which is, I've tried to get into Blue Oyster Cult. I've listened to them. They just do nothing for me other than the obvious hits. I was aware of Astronomy ME262 from this album. I've owned cassette copies of this album, and I've never played them. They've ended up gone. It's just boring. It's middling. They're all kind of, they don't do anything for me. Dominance and Submission, though, is a standout because it made me think of the Ramones, Happy Family. And that's the most positive thing I can say about it. Hotter Than Hell. Daniel.
Don't Fear the Reaper was a pretty cool song, but come on. Blue Oyster Cult against Kiss. It's like me going up against Mike Tyson. Blue Oyster Cult is like, no way, fucking near Kiss. No way, no how, nowhere near. So to me, it's an easy picking. Blue Oyster Cult is like a bar band to me. It's like they have that song and that's it. The rest, it's a meh, you know. So Hotter Than Hell, easy wins this one, yeah.
Yeah. Eclipsed first by Aerosmith and eclipsed by Kiss. And, you know, imagine having Kiss open for you, then a year later, you're opening for them. Talk about.
Yeah.
That kind of sums it up. Lonnie, Blue Oyster Cult.
I'm kind of with Julian on this one where I can't get into it. I've tried a couple times. I've seen them live. They did like a festival here when I was in high school that we went to with April Wine and Missouri and Mountain. It was a pretty good show, actually. But I can't get into it as much as I've tried in the past. I'm with Daniel. It's Hotter Than Hell by a mile.
Yep. All right. Let's close out 74 discussion with just
It's okay.
It was a slower.
It's not everyone can get into it. It's just not. It's like Mark's pick. I can't get into that.
Was I the only one who actually voted for another album other than Kiss?
Yes.
Yeah, so far.
This is real riveting.
So far, but we're not done with the episode.
No, we're not done yet.
It's only Rock and Roll, Secret Treaties, and Get Your Wings. So those were our picks. I mean, for those who have joined us live, I mean, are there any of those that you would be picking above Hotter Than Hell? Hotter Than Hell's, again, a great album, but it's got so many problems with it,
yep.
You know, in terms of production. Sonics. And some of the songs are clearly what could be categorized as filler.
Production sometimes makes it what it is, you know.
I think it comes down to at the end of the day.
We didn't have that.
Yeah, you kind of talked about it. Can new car smell for even old albums? You know, we're not going to run out of new music to explore, even if it was recorded 50 years ago. Stones.
Keep checking out the new stuff, you know, old stuff.
That's really heard, you know, since I started the Aerosmith project, you know, getting into the Yardbirds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Zeppelin, Hendrix, Beck, and the Stones. And thank God for that, because it's a whole new world that I otherwise wouldn't have discovered. Let's move on into 1976, and the year in heavy metal included albums such as Black Sabbath, We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll, Golden Earring, To the Hit, Grand Funk, Born to Die, James Gang, Jesse Come Home, Leonard Skinner, Give Me Back My Bullets. Let's see how many of these I can butcher. The Sweet, Give Us a Wink. Judas Priest, Sad Wings, Thin Lizzy, Jailbreak, Classic, Led Zeppelin, not so much a classic, Presence, Mother's Choice from Buffalo. I'm going to have to see who Buffalo is. I've got no fucking clue. Nazareth, Close Enough for Rock and Roll, Rush 2112, Wishbone Ash, Locked In, Van de Graaff Generator, Still Life, Ramones debut, Budgie, If I Were Britannia, I'd Waive the Rule. I like that. Great title. Aerosmith Rocks. High Voltage, the international version from AC/DC, Rainbow Rising, another Blue Oyster Cult album I don't want to listen to, Agents of Fortune, UFO, No Heavy Petting, Uriah Heep, High and Mighty, Alice Cooper Goes to Hell, as does his album, Grand Funk Railroad, another one, Boston, Hawkwind, the Australian release of Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. All the World's a Stage, that's a live album, so that doesn't count. Montrose, Jump on It, Free for All, Ted Nugent, 1175. Technical Ecstasy, Johnny the Fox, Crystal Ball by Styx. And we're only into November. Virgin Killer, Scorpions, Deep Purple, Made in Europe, live album. Queen, A Day at the Races. Genesis. Yeah. Oh, fuck that.
Genesis.
And Bow Wow. The Japanese band that would open for Kiss the following year. So, Lonnie, let's start with you on what is the album that you pick for your 1976 matchup against Kiss Destroyer?
I picked AC/DC, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. I thought against Destroyer, it's really tough because Mark's not here to bash Destroyer, which is going to make for a different kind of discussion than we usually have about Destroyer. But I was looking at it and I didn't want to pick Alice Cooper Goes to Hell because I picked Alice for 74 and Woken by Nightmares far superior than Goes to Hell. So I wanted to talk about how great one Alice Cooper album was and I didn't want to talk about another one. So I picked AC/DC because I really like AC/DC and I really like this album. Songs on it are really good from start to finish, obviously with the title track and Jailbreak and Big Balls is fun. Problem Child is a good song. There's going to be some Rockin', Ain't No Fun Waiting Around to Be a Millionaire. They're all really good classic AC/DC songs that you can really just listen to from start to finish with the album. And again, they stand alone as great songs as well. It has a classic AC/DC feel, classic Angus sound. So that's why I picked it to go up against Kiss. I'd be interested to see what you guys think. But I love Destroyer so much. I'm not going to pick as much as I talk about how much I like this album, sorry, I still going to pick the Swerve though.
Yeah, it's hard to beat Kiss.
Yeah, so the Australian version of Dirty Deeds is absolutely fantastic. And that's a problem with all the early AC/DC albums, is that they have different versions in Australia than was released later in many markets. I think we'll find that out with another pick. Because what, Dirty Deeds, didn't that come out like 83? It was like a cash-in in the States.
Something like that.
Yeah. Ken?
Yeah, Dirty Deeds. I have that album, and I've always enjoyed it. We know the song Dirty Deeds and Problem Child. Great song. Big Balls, comical stuff. Jailbreak. It's like, though, every other song is, I mean, they're all, you know, gosh, AC/DC doesn't change their style. It's always, you know, same thing. But some of the songs are definitely stronger than the other ones. About half of it is really strong. The other half are good, but I they're not my go-tos for AC/DC. So I like it a lot, but I'll listen to Destroyer more than this, right, than the AC/DC album. So I got to go with Destroyer too.
Yeah, for me, pound for pound, I'm taking Destroyer just because of what it means to me. Again, I've had phases with AC/DC. Someone was showing Razor's Edge the other day, and I was like poo pooing it because
that was me.
That was Ken.
Yeah,
it's a good album.
It's got a couple of good songs on it, but it's a lot of dross, and it'd been a problem with AC/DC for years. I mean, Blow Up Your Video has a few good songs. I think the three singles were all good. Who Made Who, obviously a single good song. I Fly on the Wall's a guilty pleasure for me, but when I match up any AC/DC album, I don't think it's going to beat Kiss for me, just because Kiss is far more important to my life and my personal soundtrack. Sure. Daniel, what about you?
Well, I tried to rank the albums we picked for 76, and Mark's albums ended up last, both in 74 and 76. But this was second to last in 76, because
really?
I think this is one of the weaker early AC/DC albums. There's quite a few songs that I really don't care for. Love at First Feel, Big Balls, such a silly song, and Rocker. Be Some Rockin', just a glorified blues song. I have some problems with this album, and I listened to it earlier this morning, and I have a hard time listening to that singer for a long amount of time. I guess I prefer an album like a Kiss, like Destroyer, where you have different singers, mixing it up quite a bit. It's really hard to listen to that singer for a long time to me. It's a pretty easy pick for me. It's Kiss all the way.
Okay. What was Mark's pick for 76?
Something Awful.
Diamond Dogs? By David Bowie. Oh, no. That's the other one. No. It was a...
Frank Zappa, I think.
Frank Zappa, apostrophe, right?
Yeah. If we could just talk a little bit about Mark's pick, you know, Don't Eat Yellow Snow, Whip a Baby Seal with a lead filled snowshoe. That's some of the lines from that album. I really can't get into that. If I was like 12 years old, I might have thought it was kind of funny, but not now.
I just got nothing when it comes to Zappa.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
No, I mean, the closest I ever got to Zappa was Shaky Booty, which, I mean, is mainstream Zappa as far as that goes. And Steve Vai, who played for him. That's it. That's all I got. I got no. I got. It, to me, it was just noise. It was like a jazz musician just wanting to write complex.
So you're telling me I didn't have to listen to that album? You're telling
me I didn't fucking listen to it.
You can only get like two, five to ten seconds of each song.
You know what? When you walk by a volcano and you dip your finger in and it gets burned off, you don't go back and dip your finger in again. I've listened to a Zappa album before. I'm not repeating the process. I'm not testing the theory again.
Fucking torture.
No, people will say, well, you're just not opening your mind. No, I don't need to open my mind. Thank you. I've got Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Better. I've got Yes. I've got plenty of other music without expanding my horizons unless I'm tied down and have electric wires hooked to my genitals unless I listen to Zappa.
You ain't surprised you didn't choose like Rush.
Yeah.
Anyone else got something to say about Zappa? Ken?
No.
Okay, then let's move on to your pick for 1977. Something sensible, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, the album I picked is not hard rock. It's rock, you know, pop rock, rock, whatever. But it's more of the, if you think about the production, it's not too far. It's pretty on keel with the production of Destroyer, really. Even the guitar sounds, the level of guitar you hear in it. And then some of the orchestration that you have, for instance, in like Great Expectations, you know, you have the orchestrations. And in Beth, you have that on this other album. So I picked Electric Light Orchestra, A New World Record, which is one of their best records out there. And I think it's a fantastic record. I go to it a lot. I listen to it a lot. With the cool stuff like, you know, Tightrope on there, and People Know Telephone Line and Living Thing on there. But there's also like Rockaria, very cool rocker of a song. It has some metal stuff on it too, of course. And then we have, you know, Do Ya, a great, great catchy song on it. Even the metal songs are really good. So, excuse me. I love that. I love the album. I probably go to it much more. Excuse me again. it's choking me up. I'm gonna go with ELO, A New World Record, as better than Destroyer, because Jesus. Destroyer as. The couple of dropouts for me, I like Gene, but Great Expectations is not one of his best things. And even Beth, come on, it's a cool little sappy song. You know, it's a classic. It did a big thing, but I'm not gonna choose that over some of the stuff on this. So I go with this album because I enjoy the heck out of it. I play it more than I play Destroyer. So I'm going to go with Electric Light Orchestra.
I'd never listened to this album before, prior to you making the recommendation for this episode, or not making, or setting the challenge. And listening to it, I get so many Beatles or Beatlesque overtones that continue to go through.
Sure.
Everything that Jeff Lynne did, you know, it has that production quality that they did in a lot of their grand recordings with, you know, I guess only George Martin, because Spector was let loose on shit. So, but I heard John Lennon in my head when I was listening to it saying, this is granny music. You know, how he used to insult Paul McCartney's dainty or delicate structured developments, because it just seems to be all that. There are some good songs that I did enjoy and that I thought were wonderful. Tightrope was one. Living Thing, obviously, is one that you've heard on the radio without perhaps knowing the title. Do Ya is nothing. It's terrible. The verse,
really?
Versus the version by The Move.
Well, yeah, the original version of it.
The original version is far better. And again, my point of view on that song is colored by having heard Ace's cover of it prior to ever hearing of The Move or ELO's version. So Sorry, I can't agree with you on that. Lonnie?
I'm like Julian. I'd never listened to this album from start to finish until yesterday. And there is some good stuff on it. And there's good songs, you know, like Julian said, Tightrope is good, and I will disagree with Julian. I do like the version of Dia on here, although the Ace one does resonate in my mind every time I hear any other version of it. I hear the Ace Frehley one before in my mind, and can compare any version of it to the Ace Frehley one. But it's Destroyer. I'm not picking it over Destroyer. It's good. It's decent, and I get it. It's not my cup of tea, but Destroyer really is, and Destroyer resonates with me a whole lot more. It's, in my opinion, Destroyer is really, really good start to finish. And like I always talk about how much I love Revenge, but Destroyer is a close number two for me, actually, in my Kiss catalog. So I'm definitely going Destroyer.
Yeah, Daniel, Scandinavia, there has been a shout out for ABBA, which have some majestic songs and music in the 70s, similar to ELO in terms of big productions. What do you think about ELO?
ABBA is way better than ELO, of course. But I do appreciate Ken picking this one, because I don't think I'd listen to the album from start to finish either. That's what I enjoy about these episodes. You kind of get into some music that you haven't been listening to before, and I enjoy that. Even though there were maybe a bit too many albums this time around. I just finished the last album, which was one picked by Mark 20 minutes before this episode started, the Sap album. And then I understood that I didn't have to listen to that one. That was just crazy. So this was a waste of time. But now I've heard it, at least. You talked a lot about ELO. I'll talk about Destroyer. How the hell do you beat Destroyer? I personally kind of like the production on Destroyer. Detroit Rock City, the best Kiss songs ever, according to us, because it won the death matches, you know. God of Thunder, I so enjoy the production on that one, with the eerie children in the background to the start of, you know, heavy metal, sort of. God of Thunder is one of the first real heavy metal songs. Shout It Out Loud, such a party song. King of the Nighttime World, Kiss's best cover, maybe, of all time. So, if you want to beat Destroyer, you sure as hell have to put up something else than ELO.
Yeah. And Opal Archive asked, are people deliberately choosing bad albums just to make Kiss look good?
Yeah, we're done.
So, my response to that is, my pick to go up against Destroyer is Judas Priest's Sad Wings of Destiny. And I have never shied away from saying that my favorite Judas Priest albums are Sad Wings and Stained Glass. That is all I need. Forget everything from 1980 onwards to me, as much as I enjoy everything that came after, with the exception of the Ripper years, which I refuse to acknowledge or listen to ever again, because that's crap. But Sad Wings of Destiny is one of the finest albums crafted, period. And while a lot of the songs are not fully realized, I like Kiss until they're performed live. You've got Genocide, Tyrant, Island of Domination, which I absolutely love as a song, The Ripper, Victim of Changes, just amazing, amazing music. And I did an episode on, Rock and or Roll with BJ Crap years ago, talking about Sad Wings of Destiny. And I've got a firm theory that Gull Records, who released it, fucked up and put the B-side as the A-side and labeled them wrong, and that the album should be flipped around. And once you play it in that order, it becomes a concept album that actually makes sense sequentially. So if you have it, I also recommend buy the Japanese version. I can't remember the code on it, but it's absolutely outstanding pressing, whereas there's a little bit of variation on some of the other ones. So Sad Wings versus Destroyer, for me, I'll save my vote until last. Daniel, you're nodding your head. Did you enjoy being forced to listen to that album?
Yeah, I did. I like Judas Priest, but you know, the entry point is always important when you started listening to the music. And for me, it was Painkiller with Scott Travis on drums. That was my Judas Priest. And then you had Ripper Owens, and they came over here to Scandinavia. So I actually saw a show with Ripper Owens back in, well, I guess it's almost 25 years ago now, but I think he was great live, Tim Ripper Owens, when it comes to vocals, not so much showmanship. But the Ripper, to me, it's much like Kiss, you know, there's better live versions. From the 98 Meltdown album with Ripper on vocals, that's a fucking monster, that song on that album. So you guys out there, go and listen to the 98 live album. That's such a classic. On this album, it's not even close. Victim of Changes is, of course, a classic song. Great song. But what kind of diminishes the value of this album to me is the completely weak drumming throughout the album. I mean, a song like Tyrant could be such a kick-ass song, but listen to that beat. It's like one of the students I'm teaching drums. Come on now, do something. It's fucking awful. So the drumming completely destroys this album for me. It's so weak, so boring. Come on, do a new version of this with Scott Travis on drums, and then it would kick some ass. So, and also the sound of the drums is pretty weak to me. I don't like the sound of the drums.
Well, the production is weak.
Yeah, the production is weak, and especially the drums. Mm. So for me, entering Judas Priest, you know, somewhere around 1991, listening to that kick-ass album, Painkiller, and then getting, I kind of like the first album that Tim Ripper Owens did with Judas Priest. Not the melodic side took a beating. I can agree with that. But, you know, Cathedral Spires, come on. Such a great epic song with Judas Priest. Yeah, you have to go back and listen to the album, Julian. You have no clue. And so this album, it sounds much weaker than Destroyer. Drumming is even worse than Peter Criss's drumming. No, I shouldn't say that. Peter Criss is kind of cool at times, but it's simple. It's even simpler than Peter Criss's drumming. Let's put it that way. And it's such so unfortunate that a song like Tyrant, that there isn't a cool studio version of that, thanks to that awful drummer that was in US Priest back then. I don't even know. Was it Holland or was it someone else? Well,
is that Hench?
Okay. It doesn't stand a chance against Destroyer.
Oh, no. That was Alan Moore on drums.
Alan Moran?
Moore.
Alan Moore. Okay.
He should be called Moran.
Okay. Here's your English word for the day. Rudimentary for the drumming. Very basic. Oh,
I have to Google that.
All right, Lonnie, Sad Wings.
I enjoy Sad Wings. It's good. But my entry point is similar to Daniel's. It's Painkiller was my entry point really to Judas Priest around that era. Going back and listening to this when I was, you know, collecting some Judas Priest, I enjoy it. I enjoy Judas Priest a lot with Victim of Change and Ripper, and it is good, but I can't compare it to Destroyer though. Destroyer to me is like it's royalty almost to me. And I don't know what I would. I mean, there's not many albums, period, that I would pick over Destroyer, much less albums just released in 1976. And as much as I do enjoy Judas Priest, I do enjoy this album. It's fun and it's a great listen. And there's some really rocking songs on it. I mean, it's not Detroit Rock City and King of the Nighttime World and God of Thunder and Do You Love Me. It's like, it doesn't compare in my opinion.
Okay. Ken, does your point of entry into Judas Priest leave?
I like how you did that. Yeah. Well, first of all, is that Bruce Lee? I said this as, is that Bruce Lee? I swear it's like a Bruce Lee lookalike painting on the cover.
Great cover art.
It's a cool cover art. This is the first time I listened to this album, I think, or first or the whole way through. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really great album. I like the production of it. I like this. I like all the songs on it. I think all the songs are pretty darn good. They even do a song that's like Queen sounding, right, on it. And Julian, I was reading about you talk about the B-side versus A-side. They released the complete albums collection 2012, right, of this. And they put the B-side tracks before the A-side tracks. So you were right. Yeah, that's what it says. So they did it. So it says matching the track listing from the original album's back cover. So they put it in that order. So I'm wondering if it was intentionally or it was wrong originally when they pressed it at the beginning. But I mean, I listened to it, you know, the way it was originally released with, you know, starting off with Victim of Changes and so on. That's so awesome. I really like a lot of this stuff on this. I think it's really great. Again, it was only one time listening all the way through. I'm going to go out and buy a vinyl copy of it, original, you know, OG first pressing. I like it that much. I'm going to go, you know, get that. So it's too early to me to listen. I'm going to listen again and listen again, of course, but because of Destroyer's history with me, at least for, you know, ever, I'm going to have to say, I'll just have to pick Destroyer. Though this album could be tie or close, or maybe it'll be better if I listen to it more. It's possible. Anything's possible. But I think it's a great album. I think it's better than, you talked about Stained Class, right? I like it better than that. I like this one better than that one. And a lot of other later Priest stuff that I've heard, you know, well, I like certain things from Priest, but I really, really enjoyed it. I'm okay with the drumming. That didn't stand out to me, or the, you know, like I said, I think the production's great for it, for this album. It doesn't have to be total raw, I don't think, or anything like that. So anyway, I said enough on it, but I really enjoy it, though. I am picking Destroyer.
Now I'm going to send you a copy of the album that I've got a spare of for you to enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, nice. I mean, my point of entry into Priest was United. I heard that at a friend's dock in like 1981. I had no idea who the band was. It took me years to discover that it was Judas Priest. And it just, you know, resonated with me for years. I didn't get into Priest until 85 with Turbo, just because that's when I got into heavy metal. Yeah. So, you know, just again, going back, do I rank it above Destroyer? No. There's only really one album in my catalog that I rank above Destroyer, and that's Rocks, which I deliberately didn't, you know, put up against today. Both my picks are Wings. Get Your Wings and Sad Wings. Weird. So Daniel, that leaves you last for your pick to go up against Destroyer.
Yeah, I picked the first album I got from AC/DC, and it's my favorite album from AC/DC. It's High Voltage from 76. Such a great collection of songs. It's A Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll. The Jack, Live Wire, TNT, the all-time classic, and High Voltage. And then there are a few fillers. But if you compare this to Destroy, I think they're pretty close, this one, because there are quite a few standout songs and a few fillers. So this one is really hard for me. There's no other AC/DC album that is close to this one, in my opinion, because I think this is quintessential AC/DC, and I managed to listen through the whole album, and because there are a few slow songs as well with Bon Scott on vocals here, and he delivers. But once again, God of Thunder, Detroit Rock City, shout out. You can't go against Destroy, but it's the closest one. And this is my, when I look through the list for albums in 76 that we picked, this ended up pretty close to Destroyer, but Destroyer still, you know, gets the cake. It wins.
Yeah, the international version of High Voltage came out in 76. The Australian version of High Voltage came out in 75 with a completely different track listing. If we were doing this version, which is the Australian one, then it wouldn't even stand a chance. But the international one takes the best of TNT and combines it with the best of the Australian version of High Voltage to really put together a compilation that's a complete cheat. That's really strong. It's a great album, that international version, because it does distill the very best of early AC/DC for an international market. And they had so much positive response to this album in the punk era. They were a standout as a rock band, able to go up against the emerging punk movement and be seen as legitimate as a threat. So it really is a very good album. Does it beat Destroyer for me? Again, no, simply because Destroyer means more in my life, as much as I like the songs. I mean, It's a Long Way to the Top, if you want to rock and roll, is a great song, a great video, as are most of the other songs on the album as it's compiled. But Destroyer, King of the Nighttime World, Detroit Rock City, Beth, Flaming Youth, Shout It Out Loud. No, I ain't getting anywhere near that for me. Lonnie.
No, I it's great. I mean, it's classic AC/DC from start to finish. It's a stronger album than Dirty Deeds that we talked about a little bit ago. And it just has so many classic AC/DC tracks on it. And it's great for what it is. It's high up there, but it's tough to compare anything to Destroyer, in my opinion. I'm right there with Julian. I mean, Destroyer is just royalty. As much as if this was an AC/DC podcast, they'd be saying that High Voltage probably is their royalty. Yeah. But Destroyer, this is a KISS podcast, and Destroyer is our royalty. So it's going to be tough to pick against it. Now, if our fifth member of the panel was here, he might be picking AC/DC.
It doesn't mean we can't enjoy these albums when we listen to them. I mean, it just says which one is better to us or means more to us. Well, it's a very simple question in most cases when it's a KISS podcast, but it's a nice opportunity to kind of illustrate to people who watch and listen to the show some of the other albums that mean stuff to us, that we'd pick them to go up against a KISS album or have our friends listen to them. Ken, High Voltage.
High Voltage, yes, it's a very good album. I enjoy it. I've heard, you know, listened to it in the past, of course. A lot of great songs, like you said. I guess it's a compilation. I never even knew that, really. There's a lot of solid songs on this. You know, the Jack, and of course TNT. We all know those songs. You know, High Voltage, She's Got Balls. Those are really good. I enjoy it. It's this version of AC/DC is not my favorite version. Depends. I like, you know, Highway to Hell, but then I like, you know, Back in Black too. I like those are my two favorite AC/DC albums right there, those two back to back, even though, and there's two different singers on it. But those are my favorite. This is really good stuff. I enjoy it. I like it. There's nothing bad on it. But just for, you know, preference and what KISS means to me and all that stuff, I'm going to stick with Destroyer.
Yep. So there we are. Only two of us are heathens who picked the opposition versus KISS for either of these matchups. And one of them is named Ken.
I was a heathen.
Yeah, you went with your ELO and I went with Aerosmith in 74. But for everyone who's joined us today, you know, do any of these albums stack up to KISS for you? Or do you have any albums from 1974 or 1976 that you prefer to the KISS release that year? You know, wherever you listen to this episode, do chime in and let us know. And a thing before we go, gentlemen, or is that it? You just want to go listen to some music, and I've apparently got to go listen to Ripper Owens destroy Judas Priest now and give them another chance. I will try.
Cathedral Spires.
I will try, but I'm not a big fan of Ripper.
Yeah.
Really. Well, I'm not a big fan of Ripper doing Priest because I believe he did some stuff with Yngwie, which I enjoyed.
I was just saying, there's mentioned right here, Rush 2112. I almost picked Rush 2112 to go again. I thought, oh, Mark's going to be here. He's probably going to pick, you know, 2112. I was going to pick that because I love Rush 2112. It's probably, yeah, might be my favorite Rush album, you know. So anyway.
Well, Detroit Rock City is a bit of a concept album as well. So it would have been an interesting matchup, but maybe we'll have to do one of these days, a Kiss versus Rush head to head.
What a blow out.
And see how that goes.
Head to head, right. Yeah, the album's about the same exact time coming out, the first albums and through, even the live albums. Well, yeah, that's true. Almost.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we are for this week. I want to thank everyone who's joined us live for joining us. But for now, from Daniel, Lonnie, Ken, and the absentee Mark, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the KISS FAQ message board and discuss the topic we broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.